Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you like to drink a lot of coffee? What's more important to you, taste or price? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is October 22nd, 2013. We are on day two of Newsworthy Clips, which you can find in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine, pages 32, 33, and 34. And I introduced our topic for today at the top of the program. We're talking about customer preferences for coffee and what is more important to people. And but before we get into our topic for today, we want to wrap up some things from yesterday's Newsworthy Clips. So I'm glad that my two panelists from yesterday are back today for some more hot and heavy Newsworthy Clips action. Josh Mooney and Hazel Johansson. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Great to have you back here today for day two of News Clips. And a couple things. One, let's get a thought from yesterday. And first, Hazel.
Well, it's nice that automakers are racing to make driving less distracting, and hopefully that's safer. But I think it takes a lot of driver discretion, too. We should make choices and maybe decide that our social media isn't so important, that safety is more important, and just be really more alert to that and more careful when we drive.
Yeah, and actually I'm glad that we can talk about this again just at the beginning of today, because this is a really important topic. It's very serious. It's a very serious topic, and you make a great point. We all have an individual choice, and beyond talking about technology and the gadgets and what can this do, what can that do, can it convert my voice to text, and you know, we do this, and it's a personal choice. And really, we have to make a decision, is this information important? And I see most of the social activity I see involving gadgets, it's unimportant information. It is all stuff that can wait. And it's just stuff. It's Facebook stuff. I like this. Let me post that.
Who Here's commented on my picture?
Right. checking. Yeah. Who commented? How many likes I've got? You know, or maybe somebody sends you a funny line thing. And it's just most of that information can just wait. And it's just, you know, so we really need to make that decision. Let's draw a line. Let's draw a boundary as far as when I access my gadgets and when I don't. Please don't do it when you're driving. Now, we do have a sidebar there from yesterday at the top of page 32, up in the right column, Automakers Text-to-Voice Initiatives. And we're going to have Josh read that for you, just so everybody can hear what all the words and everything sounds like.
Sure. It says, Chrysler models can turn text to voice or allow drivers to read messages on dashboard screens. Drivers can respond with a few select responses. Chevrolet Sonic and Spark vehicles with the Chevrolet MyLink communication system can translate voice to text and text to voice for drivers with compatible iPhones with iOS 6. Phones paired with BMWs can get email messages on dashboard screens that are limited to 3 lines. Text-to-speech will read the whole email back. BMW's 7 Series has a dictation function that turns speech into text that can be forwarded by email or text. Audi is working on a voice-enabled feature that allows drivers to send or receive text messages or use social networks in the car, quote, without having to handle a device. Not sure how that would work. And that's according to Anupam Malhotra, Audi's manager of connected cars.
Okay, so there you go. There are some examples of some text-to-voice initiatives that are going on with some of the manufacturers. And again, just because something is hands-free, the jury is still out on all of this stuff, because many studies have shown that hands-free is just as distracting as using a phone. And in fact, about 5 years ago, we actually did an article here in Advance that a study showed that using a cell phone is similar to actually the same level of being impaired by alcohol, same level as a DUI.
Wow.
So that is how distracting driving and using your phone is it is actually reaction times were at the same degraded level as people that were impaired at the level of being considered drunk drivers. So reconsider it anytime you do get behind a wheel and how much you're going to be using that phone.
Well, I just think how important it is to car companies. I mentioned it yesterday that technology is impacting our purchase decisions, that Audi actually has a manager of connected cars. That's her only job, is to think about how to integrate technology into our vehicles.
So their bottom line is actually money, of course, and sales and money. And it sounds like it's safety. And maybe that's part of it, but that's probably not their real goal.
They're trying to – how do we integrate this and make it safe?
Right.
They are going to integrate it. How do we make this as safe as possible?
So they're
going to
make it as safe as possible, but it still is probably dangerous.
Well, it's this, you still have human beings driving a car.
Right.
That is the problem. So, and not everybody's skill level is at the same. It's ridiculous to actually assume that maybe Josh's skill level is the same of maybe of Joe Black, who comes from a whole different situation.
Or a 16-year-old, brand new driver.
Right.
Or a 90-year-old. Yes, there's a lot of factors come into play.
So there's a variety of skill levels also. And so as long as you still got humans doing this, no matter what they do, you still got the human factor in there. All right, so let's move into today's newsworthy clip. And the bottom line here is coffee, price or taste. And that is on page 33. So you like coffee, Hazel?
Sure, I do like it, but I try not to drink too much.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Where do you get your coffee?
I get my coffee not at the highest price place.
Okay.
As long as I enjoy the coffee, I don't have to buy the most expensive.
All right. What about you, Josh?
I'm a tea drinker, Bill,
tea.
So I appreciate that we've given a nod a few times in this article to the tea drinkers out there.
Okay.
We're the minority, but there's a few of us.
Okay. All right. Well, coffee has become really popular, obviously, in America, but here in Asia, there has been a proliferation of coffee shops. So I think a lot of our readers can identify with this. Now, then it becomes a choice. Where do I buy my coffee? And so that's what we're talking about in this article. Customers at coffee shops prefer taste over convenience or price. So we'll split today's reading up into three sections. The first one will be the left column down to line 18.
Customers at coffee shops prefer taste over convenience or price. Have you become a coffee connoisseur, someone who prefers taste over convenience? If taste matters to you when you head out for a morning or afternoon pick-me-up, you are in the majority of Americans who will go out of their way to buy a cup of Joe. According to a recent Harris Interactive survey, taste plays a very important role when deciding where to buy coffee or tea, as 78% of the 2,496 respondents agreed. Taste ranked more than 20 percentage points higher than any other factor, including price. What's more is that the Harris Poll data revealed that 3 in 5 coffee or tea customers say they visit most often their favorite coffee shop, even if there's another shop available that's more convenient.
Okay, this is all about customers going to coffee shops. Why? Why do they do that? So we open up with a question here right at the top of the article.
It says, have you become a coffee connoisseur, someone who prefers taste over convenience?
Connoisseur. What is a connoisseur?
Oh, a connoisseur is someone who knows all about, in this case, coffee. They've tasted a lot of different kinds. They know exactly what they like and what they don't like, what's good, what's bad. And I would have to answer, no, I'm not really a connoisseur.
You're not?
Not at all.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, Josh said he prefers tea. Are you a tea connoisseur?
I am a bit of a tea connoisseur.
Yeah?
Yes. I think I know what kinds I like and where I like to get it. I'd say I'm probably the most proficient. I think I'm more of a cheeseburger connoisseur, though, Bill.
A chocolate connoisseur for me.
Yeah. Well, connoisseur is a French word and does revolve around food and drink. Somebody who is an expert in their particular field, they can tell you what's good, what is not good. So I feel like I'm a coffee connoisseur. I've been drinking it for many years, and I do like it. So I can usually tell what's decent coffee, what's not very good. So, and I have tried so many different kinds. So now, after this question, then we move into about whether or not taste matters to you.
That's right. We're talking about preference. The word prefers there is above it, and now we'll get into taste. It just means why do you choose what you choose? In this world of consumerism with hundreds of products that seem to be very similar, seem to be really competing on very small differences between them. We have so much choice in all the stores. Why do you buy what you buy? And it's the psychology of it that keep a lot of marketing directors and CEOs up at night. So think about it when you're out shopping for things. What matters to you? In this article, we're wondering if taste matters the most when you buy coffee.
Well, is it taste? And when you head out for this morning or afternoon pick-me-up. And believe me, I have seen Hazel in the afternoon, and she needs a pick-me-up.
I need a pick-me-up. It's true.
What is a pick-me-up?
A pick-me-up is something that makes you feel better. It wakes you up or picks you up. So if you're sleepy or bored or you need something else to do, you can run out and get a pick-me-up, something that makes you a little more lively.
Okay, so if taste does matter more, then you are in the majority of Americans who will.
Well, they'll go out of their way to buy a cup of Joe. When you go out of your way, meaning you go a little bit farther, put a little more energy into doing something, so you don't just buy the closest cup of coffee, and that's what are the little kind of colloquial reference to coffee there is called a cup of Joe.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, go out of your way. It's funny, food will do that for people, and it's not just coffee, but I just know of people who will get in their car here in Taipei, and they will drive a significant distance maybe because they want certain dumplings.
Sure.
Or, you know, they want certain, you know, if they get certain pineapple cakes from somewhere.
We have a cheeseburger in California called In-N-Out, and people will drive hours sometimes.
Really?
To get an In-N-Out burger, and it's great, I'll admit it, but I wouldn't drive what people will drive sometimes to get it.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the farthest you'll go for a taste you love, Hazel?
Oh, probably not too far.
Yeah.
It depends. But I remember one time a few years ago, a new donut shop opened up and people may not have had to drive far, but they had to wait in line for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So it's just crazy.
They're waiting.
But they're donut connoisseurs.
Donut connoisseur. Well, now, according to a recent Harris Interactive survey, taste plays a very important role when deciding where to buy coffee or tea, as 78% of the respondents, they agreed. So a lot of people say that is like the most important thing. And in fact, how did they rank it?
Well, it is most important. It was more than 20 percentage points higher than any of the other factors. So these scales have where they look at the results of why you chose certain things and then weight them according to the number of respondents that said, well, price is most important to me, or convenience, or taste, or the look of the packaging, or my relationship with the barista. And taste, by far, was the number one factor.
Are you in this group?
I'm in this group in that if it doesn't taste good, why buy it at all? So it's not if there are comparative tastes, then I would certainly go with the lesser and the more convenient.
Okay. So if they're close.
If they're similar,
right. Yeah, if they're close in taste. All right. Now, what is more? What's more from that Harris poll?
Well, it says the data revealed that 3 in 5 coffee or tea customers say they visit their most often their favorite coffee shop, even if there's another shop available.
Okay. So that's what you had been saying, right, Hazel?
Right.
They stay loyal to their favorite places.
When it comes to coffee, do you usually go to the same place?
I've cut down a lot, so I don't drink as much. But when I did, I used to go to the same place around the corner, and I could get coffee that was pretty good, and it was about half the price as if I went around the corner the other way.
Yeah.
So, you know, the atmosphere was better. Mm-hmm. I could pay more and get a better atmosphere. And sometimes I will. If I'm sitting down with friends, if I know I'm going to be in the shop for a while, but if I'm getting it to go, it really doesn't matter that much, and I can save a little bit of money.
Okay. Coffee connoisseurs are amazingly loyal. It's really interesting to see. People will just keep going back to the same place, and they're like, they will not go anywhere else. So they become so used to that taste and also the atmosphere, and people will go to one certain place. And it's not just here, but it's many, many places, and they become used to that.
And coffee shops have done a really good job about thinking about the experience and how do we hook you into that, whether it's remembering your name or your drink or, you know, making the atmosphere, like you said, more collegial and comfortable for you. I don't think it's just that we're creatures of habit and we do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think the science of how do they hook you.
Yeah.
And then something we didn't talk about is that coffee's also addictive, right? I mean, people actually have physical withdrawal symptoms if they don't drink coffee sometimes.
Well, it is the caffeine. And many people, of course, they need that pick-me-up in the morning, especially in the morning. So people need the caffeine. And if you ever drank coffee on a regular basis and then tried to quit drinking coffee, it is amazing the impact. The first couple of weeks are really difficult if you try to give up coffee, because people actually then they feel sleepy.
Yeah, or get headaches.
Yeah, get headaches. They feel sleepy and they're not – they're sluggish, we might say. So at work, they're like, ugh. Do you get that same with from tea?
There's certainly caffeine in it, but no, I can go days without drinking tea. Hmm. But I like the taste and I like the small amount of caffeine that does pick me up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there is this study, this recent Harris Interactive survey. And in fact, we have got more findings from this study. So we'll break up these findings into two separate sections here. So let's have the first one right now.
Here are more findings about our Java habits. Customers prefer a national chain almost 2-to-1 over a local shop. Some customers say it depends on the taste, the price of their regular beverage, and the location of the coffee shop. The friendliness of the staff, the variety of the menu, the familiarity of the chain and atmosphere remain somewhat important to coffee lovers. Coffee shops may start feeling the pinch from popular take-home brands who offer specialized coffee and convenience.
Okay, we're talking about some of the reasons people go to their favorite coffee shop or why they drink the coffee they do and why are they so loyal to it. So, and we're going to dig into some of that here in this section. Here are more findings about our Java habits, and Java just is another word for coffee, coffee that has been brewed. So what's the first one, Hazel?
Well, it says customers prefer a national chain almost 2-to-1 over a local shop. So they're not going to go to a community shop, at least two-thirds won't. They'll go to a big brand, a big name coffee shop.
Usually a big green and white
brand. Right. Yeah.
All right.
We know that.
Why do they do that? Why?
I think they have come to expect a certain experience.
Yeah.
And they know that the chain, if it's reputable and has enough of them, will deliver a uniform, a same experience every time they go.
Yeah.
Regardless of what city they're in, what corner they go to. I can stand on a corner, I remember, in New York City and actually see three of these big green and white ones from the one I'm standing in. So that's how proliferate there are in America.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's the same thing. Well, why do you, you know, maybe if you're traveling to another city, people are more apt to go get a hamburger at McDonald's.
Yes.
Right? Or maybe stay at a hotel chain that they've heard of, even though there's some of the other alternatives, the local alternatives might be even better. It's just they know. They know what they're getting. That's why they do that. All right, what's the next one, Josh?
Well, it says some customers say, quote, it depends on the taste, the price of their regular beverage, and the location of the shop.
Okay. All right. So, again, with some people, it's a mixture of things. So, like Hazel was saying.
I think that's my feeling, too. It depends. I want to see what kind of coffee, what the place is like, and I want to see the price.
Okay. Next one is something we don't often think about.
Well, I think about it, the friendliness of the staff, the variety of the menu, the familiarity of the chain, and an atmosphere. And that's important to a lot of coffee lovers.
Okay.
I think friendliness is important. Like Josh said, sometimes they try to remember your name and what your favorite coffee is. And, of course, you like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, do you still want a latte? It's like, yeah. You usually get cold, right? Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's amazing, actually, some places they can remember. What the different individuals like. So
it's quite a culture. You know, people, I'll stand in a line and they'll say, good morning, Susan. Hi, Bill. How are you, Steve? And, you know, I call
them
baristas.
Steve especially.
Right.
Yeah.
They remember everyone's name, their order, ask them about their life.
Right. Well, it's interesting. In some ways, the culture has shifted because that used to be associated with pubs or bars where people would go in and they would say, oh, hey, Stan, and they knew what Stan drank. Now it's all shifted to the morning. Now it's at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Stan. He likes a mocha latte, you know, in a certain size.
And there's so much variety, the drink, right? Mm-hmm. It's the size and what kind of milk you want, and do you want foam or extra ice and this. And so there's that notion of this is uniquely mine. Yes, we all are looking at the same menu, but I want it a certain way, and she's going to call my name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Josh, large mocha latte, extra foam, hold the soy, double shot of this and that. And I feel special, right? There's just some sort of unique kind of specialness.
Well, is some of it that image specialness too? Like when I see people coming into the office holding their coffee cups and there's certain people that only have a certain brand and I think, wow, is that part of it?
Mm.
And maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Mm. I've read articles that, yes, it's become a status symbol in certain parts of the world to carry the tall cup.
Wow, okay. Well, now, this last point here talks about maybe something else that might be impacting coffee shops.
Well, it says that they may start feeling the pinch from popular take-home brands.
Okay. Feeling the pinch, Hazel.
Well, when you feel the pinch, you feel the pain. Something hurts. Mm-hmm. Just like if you pinch somebody or pinch yourself, there's pain involved. So when you feel the pinch, something's not right. You're going to feel pain. And so coffee shops will feel the pinch from those popular take-home brands. So in other words, maybe with the economy a little bit sluggish, people are going to decide to make their own coffee or buy a cheaper coffee, and that will mean it will be harder for the less
the
revenue for others.
Down. Yeah. Okay. So and again, this market segment has become even more and more specialized. You can get so many different specialties and take home. So it's a lot more convenient for people.
Yes, the home coffee market, which we're going to talk about in our next reading, has really gone through a revolution.
Okay.
I mean, the days of instant coffee and Sanka and whatever the brands were that were popular.
This is not your grandmother's brand.
No. And we're going to learn more about that in this final reading.
Single-serve home brewing machines have been steadily gaining in popularity with American adults, buying a machine in an effort to cut down on the number of coffee runs. About one-third of respondents say they have a single-cup brewing system at home, work, or both. Among adults with a single-serve home brewing machine, 70% said they chose to use it instead of buying a drink at a coffee shop. The top one-shot coffee machine brand, according to Harris Interactive, is Keurig, as Mr. Coffee, Bosch, De'Longhi, Cuisinart, and Krupps round out the field.
Okay, we finished our last section talking about special popular take-home brands. And so we continue along that vein with these single-serve home brewing machines, right?
Yes, these are very popular across the world now, this idea of bringing quality coffee to your kitchen table and not using the old-style coffee pots.
Right.
These are what they're called single-serve, meaning you put in a little flavor canister and some water, and it'll brew a single cup of coffee from a brand or a flavor or a part of the world that you trust.
Yeah, and the attraction with this is that those single cups of coffee are actually, the quality of taste is better. And when you make a whole pot of coffee, it thins out. It just doesn't taste as strong. It doesn't have that robust flavor. So, and this will cut down on the number of coffee runs. Coffee run, that's when you have to leave the house and go get coffee.
Right. It yeah. might even be cost-effective, too, although I'm not sure about that.
And again, it's a long-term thing. If you buy one of these single-serve home brewing machines, it's a long-term thing.
Okay.
Yeah, because the flavor cups aren't cheap.
Really?
Yeah. So I think, right, if you, you know, do it for 30 years, yeah, it might save you some money.
Yeah.
But I think, I mean, when you brew a whole pot of coffee, do you drink it all? I mean, isn't there waste?
A lot of times, yeah, there's stuff that's just left over. So now, about one-third of respondents say they have a single-cup brewing system at home, work, or both. Well, whether or not they have them at home, these things are popular with adults, right?
Yes, they are. And 70% said they choose to use those if they already have them rather than buying a drink of coffee at a coffee shop.
That's right. And now we, in the last paragraph, talk about some of the popular brands: Keurig, Coffee, Mr. Coffee, Bosch, DeLonghi, Cuisinart, Krups. There's lots to choose from, and even more flavors to choose from. Brands you know and trust are creating the little flavor cups.
Yeah. So you have one, right?
I do. We have a Keurig at home in the States, mm-hmm. and my wife uses it especially for parties where everyone can get their own flavor of coffee.
Okay. Well, I like them. They do make good coffee. It is, but it's not cheap.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, listeners, hopefully this has been helpful for you, and it's been interesting to learn about why people choose certain types of coffee, whether it's at home or at one of the coffee shops. Thanks for joining us here for Day 2 of Newsworthy Clips. Come on back next time for Day 3. Till then, this is Bill.
Josh.
Hazel.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.